Because I work multiple jobs, I don't normally get a chance to work on the sermon during the week. So I do it mostly during the weekend, but this weekend happened to be a particularly busy weekend. So I didn't get a whole lot of time to work on the sermon. So if it's a little more scattershot than usual, I hope you'll forgive me. I was watching a documentary this week. Jude always calls me a nerd because I watch documentaries for fun. But I was watching a documentary. I think it was, I can't remember what the title was, on Netflix. And it's about the nature of infinity. And it was had like all these mathematicians and philosophers and astrophysicists. And I was working out and watching this documentary on infinity. And mathematically speaking, if you look at a circle, regardless, it could be like a circle this small or a circle as big as this church, or there are infinite lines that can be drawn within that circle, mathematically speaking, right? So if we think of like the smallest whole number is one, right? And if you divide that in half or whatever, it's 0.5. And then if you divide that in half, it's 0.25 and 0.50 and on and on and on and on. Because numbers are infinite, then you can just keep on dividing this circle for infinity. Likewise, if you try and find the circumference of a circle, you have to use the mathematical symbol pi, which I know is 3.14, but it goes on for infinity. And then they were talking about the nature of that. You know, the smallest thing that we used to think existed was called an atom, right? And you have atomic energy, and but atoms are not the atoms are so small. Those of you who don't know, use this praise music. Atoms are so small that you could line up thousands of them along the edge, side by side, on the sheet of paper. And yet, there's something called a Planck, and it's a unit of measurement that's actually like makes up the universe, that is so small that if you took that single atom and exploded it into the size of the universe, that Planck would be like the size of a tree. And as I started thinking about infinity, we use this term, right? The kids are always say like, you know, nuh-uh times five, nuh-uh times infinity, right? And then you say nuh-uh times infinity plus one or whatever. Our human knowledge that we think is so vast, in 100 years, in 1,000 years, in 1,000,000 years, what will they look back on us and think? We used to burn witches. This lady's doing some medicine stuff. Burn her. We think that we got it all figured out now. But my friends, that's just not the case. We have to be willing to consider the possibility that there's still more to do. When people lived in a time where the earth had not completely been discovered, there was this unknown. But now that we've seen all parts of the earth, we think, well, we've got it figured out. But there is so much left to do. And as I started to think about infinity and the nature of infinity, it made me afraid. I don't know if you ever look up at space and think about how big everything is and therefore how small we are and how inconsequential we may be in the grand scheme of things. That inspires fear in people. But I'd like to argue that the opposite is true. Excuse me. The that this idea of large and small and time is all relative. In fact, I think scientists even say that. But the idea of time is what scares us. Right? We think of what will happen in the future. What will happen in the future? What terrible things could happen? What awesome things could happen? But there is no future. There never has been. There's only right now. When you're a child, you think, when I grow up, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. You haven't reached that point. You're still only the same person you've always been. We think about what happened in the past. Believe me, I think about what happened in the past more than I'd care to share. And it causes me shame or remorse or regret. But there is no past. I can't go back to it. People always talk about if I had a time machine and could tell my younger self, yeah, well, you can't. If there's no future to be afraid of and there's no past to regret, then there's only now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. My whole life, I've listened to Christians talk about waiting. I'm sick of waiting. Everybody's always planning and calculating, adding and subtracting, strategizing. For what? To what end? To have more? To be more? What more could you possibly have or be that's sufficient, that's more than what you are right now? I live without a whole lot of money. And the devil causes me to think about that. I think of how much money other people have. I think about how little money I have. I think about what's going to happen if I run out of money. If I won the lottery and had $1 billion, then would I be able to be happy? Then I could finally be the man that I've wanted to be. It's either true or it's not. I have to look inside myself every day, and I encourage you to do the same, and think it's true or it's not. And if it's true, then we move forward in strength. And if it's not, then let's go home. It's now. It's right now. It's always been now. I think to myself, if I could go back and show Dad what I could have done differently, and then my personal essence just leaves and leaves and leaves because I'm thinking about a thing that I can't do. And then I sit and think about in the future. And meanwhile, I'm just moving through time. When God says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what does that mean? What does it mean? I always respected my father, even though I disagreed with him at times, because he put his money where his mouth is, so to speak. There was a lot of things that he could have done differently. All of us can. But if Jesus says we're supposed to raise the dead, people equivocate and they... The scripture that I was going to read today that I was thinking about this morning is the parable that Jesus speaks about with the wise man builds his house on the rock. We all know this one. And the foolish man builds his house on the sand. and the waves come, and the rain falls down, and the wise man's house stands still. And the foolish man, his house falls apart. My question is, what's the house? What's the house? What's the house that we're afraid of losing? What's the house that could be washed away? Our lives? Our fortunes? What is it? The house is our very spiritual selves. The Lord says plainly, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the just and the unjust. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. And it all looks like chaos to those of us who don't understand. But the truth is that all we have control over is ourselves at this point in time. But the beauty is that as long as we're able to listen to the Holy Spirit, then anything else that happens is inconsequential. Because all we have is now. In 20 years, when I'm an old grandpa, it'll be right now. Eternal life, right now. We have to be aware when the devil tries to trick us. My daughter went to spend the night at somebody else's house last night. And I started to worry in the middle of the night about all of the terrible things that could happen. And then I couldn't sleep. Was the fact that I was awake worrying, was that making my daughter safer than she would have been had I slept soundly? It's the devil just creeping in. Sometimes I'll be taking a shower, and this is when the devil loves to get me, and he'll remind me of some foolish thing that I did, of which there are many. And it's so humiliating in my mind that I have to like make a noise to like, ugh! I was like so embarrassed of myself. And the devil wants to say, see, Gabe, that's what you are. People will always see you as that, Gabe. When they find out that you're preaching, they're going to know what you did. But there is no then. It's only now. It frees me up. I move forward in strength. They can think what they want. Not me. I'm not going to be a slave to the man that I was. And I'm not going to be a slave to the fear of the future. Because it's coming. It's coming regardless. My daughter came out to ask me for something the other day. And I thought, how tall and beautiful my daughter is. And she found this like little video diary book thing. And I saw these pictures of when she was like in second grade. And she was like singing the song, taking all these pictures, and her cute little self. And I was so happy thinking about my cute little daughter, and then the enemy comes right in and says, she's growing up, Gabe. She's growing up. Your son's already 19. He's going to get a house. He's going to leave. Jude's going to meet somebody. She's going to leave, and you'll be all alone, Gabe. And in that moment of beauty that I had with my daughter is robbed from me. He took it away. And it's only if and when I'm able to remember that I'm able to step back that I take it back and be present with my daughter, be here and now with her. I tried to speak with my son about college. I don't know if you ever try and speak to a younger person. It's very difficult. Not like me. I was so teachable, but, right, Mom? But for some reason, my kids, it's like trying to tie your shoes with frozen fingers. And as I'm speaking, I find my voice getting higher and higher and higher. But dude, you got to get to the class, because if you don't, then you're not going to get it. But if you didn't do that, then you're going to, but then even it. And this whole dramatic play goes out in my mind. Dude, Gabe, if you don't say something to him, man, like, then he's not going to enroll in college. What, is he just going to work at Trader Joe's the rest of his life? Then he's not going to do all the things you want him to do. Can't he see? Now, it's true that he does need to do some things differently. But all of my stressing and squeaking voice doesn't make my life 1 second longer. It doesn't make my day 1 ounce brighter. In fact, it's the opposite. Dad said it well when he said, preaching about a heaven that can't be shown to a hell that can't be known. And they gut out the gospel, Judd. Truer words have never been spoken. The enemy has us thinking of a day that will never come, so we can justify our own bad behavior today. You know how many times I said that I'm going to start my diet tomorrow? Somebody came to me at work this week and patted me on the tummy and said, dude, you used to be such a, what did he say? Strapping young lad. I was like, hey, man. And maybe he shouldn't have done that. But I had been telling myself since Christmas, all right, today we're going to eat apple pie. But tomorrow, dude, we're turning on Rocky IV and we're getting back in this mug. Because it's always tomorrow. Today I'm going to continue playing video games, but tomorrow we take over the world. Today I continue being the insecure guy I've always been, but tomorrow the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'm stuck. Everything else is sinking sand. If you don't have the awareness of the Holy Spirit to remind you that right now is all you've got and right now is all you need. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the just and the wicked alike. My sister did not deserve what she got. But no amount of hatred or bitterness is going to change me right now. So I got to let it go. I don't understand the nature of infinity. So I got to let it go. And I got to be the best person that I can. And I got to be willing to rethink what I think is right. I think my current circumstances as they are what I want, but maybe they are not. And I got to be willing to listen, because I got to be willing to change. Because as long as I'm not moving, as long as I'm not constantly trying to be aware, then I'm missing out. There's nothing wrong with planning for the future. I could do a lot more of it myself. I went to the DMV. Oh, my goodness, dude, I got taxed. Because I don't plan enough. There's nothing wrong with planning for the future. There's nothing wrong with thinking of goals to come. But if you live your life constantly in the future and the past, like so many of us do, we're missing out on the here and now. Don't let him rob from you. It's right here. It's right here. I got up this morning. I got a call that stressed me out. I got a text from somebody else that stressed me out. I got thoughts that stressed me out. And I started with prayer, and I was thinking, man, it's going to be good. Here comes the rain. That it's not going to change. It's never going to change. Regardless of how today goes or tomorrow goes, something else is going to come. What am I going to do? Stand on the rock. Stand on the rock and face it. Because nothing could happen to me that would be worse than closing my ears to the awareness of the Holy Spirit. It's right here and now. We all kind of know this. Even kids say YOLO, right? Even kids say you got to live this day to the fullest. Now that usually means like drink and smoke and party to them. But we all have this inborn knowledge that like we would be missing out if we don't carpe diem, if we don't seize the now. But once we do, everything opens up. I've been practicing this. I'm not very good at it yet, but I'm getting better than I was. I do this all the time because I work a lot. Like I'll be at school and I'll be thinking of the fact that I got to work at Trader Joe's. And I'll be bummed out about the fact that I got to work at Trader Joe's instead of getting to go home and spend time with my family. That then my day at Redeemer is worse because I'm thinking about all the terrible, you know, I have to go home. And so my current day that was good starts to be less. It becomes washed out, less vibrant. Because I'm thinking about all of the terrible things that I got to do. My trials and tribulations. I got to walk through hot coals. I'm going to have to get the carts and I have to do the thing. And my day hasn't... I haven't even... You see what I'm saying? But when I'm able to listen to the Holy Spirit and remember that there's only now, then whatever my circumstances, it's okay. If I can accept that there's only now, then when I'm teaching, instead of thinking about all the negative things that I have to do, I'm currently just existing in my teaching, and the Lord gives me pleasure in that. We live with these fantasies of a super hot church. Are you guys not hot? Man, I'm burning up. Thanks, Steve. We live with these fantasies or we live with these regrets. How often are you at work and you think about someplace else you'd rather be? And then you rob yourself of the joy of doing the thing that you're doing. And you might think, well, what I'm doing right now is terrible. It sucks. But it only is terrible and sucks because you think it does. All the teachers get around together and we all complain about the students. And then we wonder why the school is so rough. All we do is think about all of the students that are giving us trouble. And then we go in and are miserable in our class. I wonder why that could be. Go into Trader Joe's and we think about this terrible customer we had, and then we spend the rest of the day thinking, why am I having such a bad day? It is here and now that we can be happy. It's here and now that we can be peaceful. It's here and now that we can have freedom from our fear, from our resentment, from our regret. If we're willing to take a moment, unclench the muscles, and realize it. All of this morning, I've been worrying about something that's never happened. This morning, I've just been stressing and contemplating. Well, if the parsonage goes away, then where am I going to go? Then what am I going to do? Then what am I going to hand? And na 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 and na 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 na. Don't you see? That's what the devil wants. He wants me upset. Emilio read it so well this morning. If you only love those who love you, then what good are you? Even the Gentiles do that, and they're gross. If you're only happy when things are going well, of course everybody is. Can you be happy when things aren't going not well? Painted myself there into a corner, Justina. Only my ability to be able to be happy and content in difficult times separates me from everyone else. And if I truly want to be not of this world, then I gotta be able to do it. I gotta practice what I preach. It's either true or it's not true. But brothers and sisters, it is true. It is. It just flat out is. And the cynics who want it to be false or just want to justify the life that they're already living. But you can be happy regardless of your circumstances. You can be happy regardless of what's going on in your life. I had a friend who came into Trader Joe's. This was a while ago. And she was diagnosed with a terrible disease. And she said, "How's it going?" And I listed all of it. I forgot what she was going through. "How's it going?" "Well, you know, I've just been really busy. I'm scanning the groceries, you know." And then I asked her, "Well, how are you doing?" And you know what she said? "Great." "Great? What? How could you be great?" It's just a matter of practicing what you preach. It's just a matter of being able to do it. You're not going to succeed all the time. Sometimes you will fail, but you try and try again. The rain comes, the waves blow, but our house stands firm. Because irregardless of what happens out there, as long as I'm able to be right in here and up here, I'm bulletproof. I'm untouchable. I'm Teflon. How much money would people give if you could put that in a pill and swallow it? But the fact of the matter is, you don't need to. You just got to work at it, work at it, work at it. In the morning, start your day with prayer. As you move through the day, remind yourself. Bring yourself back to the present moment. Remind yourself that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When things are good, remember to be grateful for the things that you are given and the things that you have. When things are bad, remember that they're not bad for forever. And that the Lord is faithful to see you through the bad times. When my father passed, my sister looked at me and said, "Will we ever be happy again, Gabriel?" And at the time I thought, "I don't know, Ashley, but now I can answer. The answer is yes." No terrible thing can happen that the Holy Spirit cannot get you through. And no little thing can make you happy if you're not faithful to look to Him. It is here. It is now. It always has been, and it always will be. The devil prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. "Well, he can't devour me." Not going to let him. I'm not going to let him devour me with uncertainty or fear or prejudice or jealousy. He can't have it. It's mine. It's mine because I take it. It's mine because I've taken it this morning. Take it back. It's yours. He can't have it. It's at hand. The kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price. And a merchant who buys and sells pearls sees it. And then he goes and sells everything he's got to have it. I'll close with this. It's another parable, but it's not from the Bible. There's a poor man sitting on the side of the road on a box, and he's asking for spare change. People are passing by. And one guy stops. And the beggar says, "You got any change?" He says, "No, I don't have any change." And the guy's like, "Okay." He says, "Have you looked in that box?" And he's like, "No, why? It's just an old box." The traveler says, "Why don't you look in the box?" And when the beggar looks up, he opens the box and it's filled with gold. The lame beggar is sitting by the gate, beautiful. And he asks Peter, "Got any change?" And Peter says, "Gold and silver have I none, but what I have, I give to you." We got it. We've already got it. We just got to remember that we have it. Be blessed this week. Be encouraged this week. Be reminded this week. Be reminded later today. Be reminded in 5 minutes. All the time. Remember, infinity is here and now. And then live your life. Because it's awesome. It's so good. So good. If you bow your head and close your eyes, I'll close. Lord, you say that the good tree only produces good fruit. And you're the good tree. Please help us to bear good fruit. Please remind us, Lord. Remind us, Lord, that we have it. That we have peace. We have patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We have it. Remind us, Lord. Bless us this week. Remind us to start our day with prayer. Help us to look out for the plans and schemes of the enemy. Help us to see the traps and the pitfalls before they come, so that we can live our lives the way that you promise we can. Eternal life. In your name, I pray. Amen.